Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Hey, have you heard the biggest lie in personal development today? It's not about the 5 a.m. club and it's not about affirmations. It's about how I am supposedly the world's most disciplined man. Well, the truth is I'm actually one of the laziest, unmotivated, and most undisciplined people you will ever meet. You know, back in the day, I used to be binge drinker and socially anxious and didn't want to do a lot of stuff and didn't like to do manual labor around the farm where I grew up. And I bet you my mom and dad would definitely agree that I was one of the most undisciplined, laziest people in the world. But then one day I realized something. I wanted to achieve greatness more than I wanted to eat chocolate cake for breakfast. And that's when it all changed. And I'm going to share with you how to become more disciplined, because I get that question all the time on Instagram and Facebook and through my email. So today, hold on, because we are going to have an epic episode of Early to Rise Radio. Hi, I'm Craig Ballantyne, your host. And today you're going to get the kick butt in the mindset that you need, because many people are loving this phrase that I've been saying recently. You can't have a seven-figure income on a five-figure lifestyle. And a five-figure lifestyle is undisciplined. Undisciplined. And there's no structure, there's no systems, you're all over the place, it's chaotic, you're winging it. And no, you can never possibly have a seven-figure income on that. And if you do, you end up like, what I believe, like 70% of pro athletes go broke. Well, I bet 70% of undisciplined people who get $1 million go broke too. So we're going to fix that, all right? We're going to give you 10 simple things that you can do and that I did to build discipline and success. This is really a sneak peek at what I'm going to be teaching in the opening keynote session at perfectliferetreat.com, my big event, November 8th and 9th in San Diego. If you do not have a 2-for-1 ticket deal yet, make sure you go to perfectliferetreat.com and get it. You'll see Bedros Koulian, a master of discipline. You'll see Jason Capital, young man, 29 years old, with crazy discipline that's allowed him to build a $10 million a year business. You're going to meet Carrie Shule, a real estate agent from Washington, D.C., who has so much discipline. She has 80 brokers on her team, and she has young kids, and she does this successfully with her husband. All right, so listen, we're going to bring together massive amounts of discipline, download it to you, so you're going to walk away from the event with so much structure and so many systems that success will become automatic. And what I'm going to teach you today is really how I went from being a know-nothing, have-nothing, do-nothing, broke, struggling, binge-drinking, socially anxious personal trainer to being the world's most disciplined man without any effort. All right? My friends call me that as a joke in a little bit, but not really a joke. I mean, there's a reason why everybody says, man, you're so productive. You're more disciplined. You're more successful than anybody I know. How do you do it? And so listen, I'm going to teach you how to be the best version of yourself so that you can build your business around your life and not your life around your business, so that you can make more, do less, and live the life of your dreams. So let's go. Let's go and grow here in this session, all right? So let's dive in to my 10 ways to build discipline. Number one is the most important. That's why it is number one. Destroy distractions, toss temptations. Listen, the number one thing that most people misunderstand about discipline and what it means to be disciplined is that they think it's about doing, but it's actually about not doing. Bruce Lee said it's not the daily increase, but the daily decrease. You must hack away at the inessential. Hack away. It's the daily decrease. So think about it. Think about all the things, all the temptations and distractions that are on your desk, in your kitchen, on your television, on your computer, on your phone. There's so many things. Now, imagine you were in a room with a desk and you had your number one task to do, and there wasn't a single thing in that room but you and the desk and the work you had to do. You think you'd have a better chance of doing that than doing that at your regular workstation, where there's your iPhone within reach, where there's peanut M&Ms within reach, where you can turn on the television within reach, where you can just call somebody? because the phone is within reach. You can just do all of these things. There's 500 things in your personal space, in your arm's length, right? I've talked about this before on the show, and I've said, as long as you're not driving, do this. Take your arms out to your side and rotate around and look at what's in that space. There's books. I've got tons of books in this space. I got my journals. I've got my newsletters. I've got two phones in this space. I've got my computer. Fortunately, I don't have Netflix or many apps installed on my phones, but there's all those distractions. And when you eliminate them, you increase your odds of success. I've talked many times about the extreme example of the alcoholic who must stop drinking. Now, if you put that alcoholic in a world where there's no alcohol, he has a better chance, right? He is a man. If he's in, you know, Salt Lake City in 1950, he has a better chance of dropping the alcohol habit than he does in Salt Lake City today, where there's more alcohol. But also, if he lived in downtown New York, think about it. The alcoholic can be drink free 6.5 days a week, say the Serenity Prayer, drink water, be a good person, go to the meetings. But if on Friday night they go to a pub, it's all out the window. But if you remove those temptations, you destroy your distractions, you can be successful in life. That's why when they send you to rehab, they don't send you to an all-inclusive resort, right? They send you somewhere where there's a fence, both figuratively and literally built around you to stop you from doing the bad things. They build a fence around you, and you must build a fence around yourself. That's what I talk about in my books, that I built a fence around myself. I said, hey, listen, I want to be successful. I don't want to go on the internet first thing in the morning. So when I lived in Denver, Colorado for 18 months, I did not have the internet at home. I made myself get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I didn't go to the gym until 6 o'clock. And what am I going to do? I'm going to learn how to write in deep work focus blocks in my magic time so that I was able to publish 2 books. Right? Right? That's what you got to do. You got to eliminate. So think about it. What is stopping you from success in your health and fitness? Okay, I want to get up early in the morning. I want to go to the gym and then I want to have a shake. But you know what I do is I get up early in the morning and then I start scrolling on my phone. And the next thing you know, I'm eating, you know, Cocoa Puffs for breakfast. All right, great. Eliminate the Cocoa Puffs from your house. Done. Now, as long as there's no other cereal, no Captain Crunch sitting around, and you've got your blender out and you've got your ingredients packed up, maybe you get one of those smoothie kits. Like, oh my goodness, like that's actually shows you how hard it is to be successful in life when we have to order a smoothie kit with all the ingredients in it because we can't make our own ingredients. So listen, you've got all that stuff ready. Then you wake up and you make sure that your phone is in another room. You use another alarm clock to get you up and you have your exercise clothes right beside the bed. And then you have your workout stuff all teed up for you in the garage. Boom, you do the workout, you have the smoothie. You've been successful because we've destroyed the distractions and eliminated temptations. It's the same with anything. And I hate using this example, but I get so many people asking me for help on this with porn. Listen, you got to block those websites. You got to let people look at your browser and say, hey, every single day, you know, my accountability partner, you can look at my browser and you can see what it looked at. Well, great. And if you do something bad, you owe somebody $100 or they get to post it on the internet. Think about that. Think about that. We're going to talk about changing your identity and getting rid of public accountability as well as keys to becoming more disciplined. But you got to do extreme things if what you are doing right now is not working. What got you here won't get you to the next level. What got you here won't get you there. So build a fence around yourself and understand it's a power of the local environment, which is your arm's length, and then the power of the global and external environments, which is the place that you put yourself. Do you put yourself in Las Vegas and you want to stop drinking and gambling? Okay, we got a problem. We got a problem. We're probably going to not want to go there. We're probably going to want to maybe go to Salt Lake City instead. All right, so think about the people you hang around with, the toxic environments you put yourself in, even if it's just going to the donut shop. Listen, you can't go to the donut shop if you got to have a donut. Every time you go to the donut shop to get the kids a donut and you got to have one too, well, that's not going to work. You got to figure out something else. One of my mentors, Dan Kennedy, once told this story about how he went and drove to the racetrack. He races horses. He always had to go the long way because the short way, the best way, had a donut shop on the way. And if he went that way, he would always stop at the donut shop because he spent 30 years having coffee and donuts for breakfast. Hey, man, he's building a fence around himself. And you got to build a fence around yourself too. Think of the power of the local and global environments and make those changes. That's number one. That's obviously the most important because I spent nearly 10 minutes on it. It is incredibly powerful when you eliminate the bad things and you just make the path to doing the good things so much smoother. If I don't have chocolate cake in the house, I can't eat it for breakfast. Okay. Good. All right. Now, number two is public accountability. When you make the claim that you're a keto person or you're a paleo person, that's one huge step forward by telling the world that that's what you do, that you will then be able to better behave in private when somebody puts a piece of cake in front of you and it's like, or someone leaves a piece of cake at your house. You know, they bring some over and you're like, oh, I don't eat this. And I just leave it here anyways. And you're like, now it's you and the cake at midnight on a Thursday. And you've had a glass of wine, which was somehow paleo glass of wine. Or maybe you had potato vodka, as Chopin vodka, as I like to drink. And you've had a couple glasses and your willpower is down. And now you're staring down that cake and you're like, well, I've only been paleo for 7 days. So if I guess I had this cake, I could just reset it, right? All of a sudden your mind starts making all these things. But if you've told the world that you're paleo and you say, I don't eat cake for breakfast. I don't eat cake at any time of the day anymore. Then now you're like, man, if I do this, I'm going to be a hypocrite when I go back the next day and post on Facebook about something that people are going to be like, hey, how's it going on paleo? And you're like, pretty good. Cake's on my paleo diet. No, it's not. So when you have public accountability, like when I stopped swearing in 2011, after doing an interval training run, just after I'd bought Early to Rise, and I was for some reason, I was thinking to myself, listen, all day long, I'm telling people what to do and I still swear. And I don't even actually have a problem with swearing, but I decided like, listen, you know what? I can clean up my act. Because I don't swear in front of my mother and I don't swear when I'm on stage. So I don't need to swear when I'm in conversation with my friends. That will challenge me to become a better orator, you know, to make my point without cursing for emphasis. I can do it. And so I told the world and within 4 days I stopped. And now I tell the world all the time, like on this podcast. And when I do slip, and I've had friends call me out on it. Oh, it only counts when you're on stage. I remember Joel Marion busted me on it. I really felt bad. And that's when I rededicated myself to it. So public accountability has helped me so much because it's helped me not swear 99.9% of the time. So you need public accountability. You're going to go on your Facebook page. You're going to go to your group of friends. You're going to go to your gym. You're going to go to whoever, maybe your mastermind group. We do a lot of this at my mastermind groups. We get public accountability. We have a contract for commitment at the end of my workshops where they're accountable to me and accountable to everybody in the room. And it's a game changer. It changes people's life when they're accountable. Even if they're strangers at the start of the day, by the end of the workshop, they're so tight, so bonded, and they say, I'm going to do this. And nobody wants to let other people down. Nobody wants to feel like a hypocrite. Feeling like a hypocrite is like worse than feeling like somebody who stole an old lady's purse. Like that's how society ranks people. Like, okay, listen, you were speeding. That's pretty bad. Public intoxication. That was pretty bad. Stealing a purse, especially an old lady's purse. That's really bad. But being a hypocrite, ooh, that's real low, real low. And so when you feel like a hypocrite on the inside, you got to channel that into becoming better and improving your discipline because of the power of public accountability. So that's the second thing. The third thing is systematic and automatic right decisions. When you make public accountability that you do not hit snooze in the morning and you put your phone across the room and you use a Philips light alarm and you have all of these things in place, that it makes it very difficult for you to want to go back to bed because you're like, I don't want to be a hypocrite and I don't want to be tired again. And as Pedro says, I don't want to tell my hopes and dreams that they can wait. And now the light's on, so I actually feel kind of awake. And, you know, the phone's across the room. Now I'm up and now a chug thing of water. And like, I've got 19 things like have moved me. Like, okay, now I'm not going back to bed. It's systematic and automatic. You make the right decision. Same with being a paleo person. Okay, great. I'm paleo. Now when I go out for lunch, like, okay, I can't have pizza. Great. Now I'm going to lose some belly fat. Because I made the right decisions. They're automatic. They're done for you. When I write my books, one of the reasons I wrote my book was for me to go all in. I went all in. I said, hey, this is how I live my life. And again, if I don't live my life that way, then now people find out and they're like, oh my gosh, Why would I hire you as coach? Why would I buy your books? Why would I send people your way? Why would I follow you on Instagram if you don't do what you said in this book? You're a liar. And I don't want to be a liar. I want to be that person who lives up to that. And so that book is a manual. I'm like, okay, great. I've said that. Now I'm going to operate that way. It's automatic. I don't even have to think about it. I do not have to think about it. So you make the decision, you go all in. And some of these things become systematic that way. Then go back to that example, like, hey, I want to work out more. Well, great. Put your exercise clothes out. You put them on. Boom. Half begun is half done, said Mary Poppins. She was right. So listen, systematic and automatic right decisions will help you become more disciplined without you saying, I got to be disciplined. I got to go work out. Oh, got my exercise clothes on. You know, I got a workout partner. They're counting on me. That's more systematic, automatic right decisions. You got this, okay? You see how we're like, oh, well, none of this actually takes any discipline. All I have to do is set this stuff up. Set it and forget it. It's like the Ron Pompeil form of discipline. Set it and forget it. Systematic, automatic. I like how that sounds. Systematic, automatic. Systematic, automatic. So now we go to number four. This one also sounds really good. Look at me. I'm on a roll here. No more waiting, hesitating, or procrastinating. Success loves speed. Delay kills dreams. Momentum and motivation breeds discipline and you channel that into the power of the morning routine, okay? So no more waiting, hesitating, or procrastinating. That means no more hitting snooze. No more waiting, hesitating, or procrastinating when it comes to doing the one big thing in your life, the most important task, the one thing, whatever it is you want to call it, GSD. There's so many phrases for it, but instead of worrying about the phrase you use for it, let's just worry about taking action. I call it the farm boy morning miracle. You get up as a farm boy and you go to work, okay? You go take a pee-pee and then you get out and you feed the cows because the cows don't take a day off. So I get up at 3:57 a.m. and I get a big glass of water and I go right to my computer. In 2 hours, poor little Daisy, the dog, she knows I'm up and she's like, where is this old guy? I want to go outside and go pee-pee myself and I want to play and then I want to eat. But you know what? Daisy's got to wait 2 hours because I got to write and then do my meditation and then I take Daisy the dog outside and then we play and then she eats. And then I try and convince her to leave me alone so I can write again. But it doesn't work that often. So anyways, I've got that. She needs this discipline. She needs automatic, systematic, no more waiting, hesitating, procrastinating discipline. Anyways, so we got that in place. The morning routine. I've won the day. I have won the day before most people have gotten up. And let me say, though, I'm not going to try and brag, like, oh, I get up so early. I'm the coolest person in the world. I'm not. I'm obviously boring and disciplined, but... well, I'm kind of interesting. I do go to 45 countries, five countries a year, and I get to hang out with Bedros and all the cool people. So they're cool. I'm kind of interesting by association, but it's by getting up, success loves speed, and delay kills dreams. If you try and do your hardest thing later on in the day, it will never, ever happen. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. You're not writing a bestseller at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when everybody in your company is bringing you their emergencies for you to finish before the deadline of their day. So you must dive in. And that's all part of being systematic, automatic, and removing temptation so you can dive right in and getting public accountability. Like all these things are interweaved together so that you can dominate. Number five, anchor routines. So even if you do get on track, an anchor routine can get you back on track. John Carlton, a famous copywriter, has this anchor routine. He circles his desk, he puts on his old sweatshirt, and when he sits down to write, that's when it's writing time. Robert Greene had something as well, something about pouring a cup of coffee. That was when it was writing time. Something about his cat. His cat had to be like right beside him and he had a cup of coffee and that was when it was time to write. And the guy's written multiple bestsellers at this old, old computer desk, at this old computer, very much like me. I have a 5-year-old computer. It's not about the bells and whistles and toys. No, it's actually about the daily decrease, hacking away the inessentials so that you can have the automatic, systematic environment for success. So anchor routines, maybe it's a song, maybe it's breath work, maybe it's something else that gets you into the zone for workouts, for writing time, for meetings, for high energy presentations, for whatever it is, for whatever you do, you must have automatic, systematic systems and routines to get you back on track when you start to lose your discipline. And these are, again, part of the identity. Number 10 is changing identity. We're going to get to that in a second. It's going to be absolute game changer for you. But before we get there, we need to move to number six, which is visualization. My friend Alan Cosgrove has a really, really, really great quote. And it might not be his, but I love it. And he was the first person to introduce me to. And he said, Your mind is like a garden. Plant good things. Plant good things. Don't put label lies on yourself. Instead, say, hey, listen, I'm a very successful person. I believe in myself. I'm going to read some good quotes. I'm going to start the day properly. I'm going to do some gratitude. Then I'm going to get right into my stuff. Good. Plant good things. Visualize the day. Visualize the day the night before. Sharon Srivatsa, one of my clients, he did one of my $25,000 workshop days, just him and me down on Laguna Beach. Amazing day, amazing setting down at the Montage Hotel. We just totally crushed it. That's why he's crushing it in life right now with his new business. And he said, Craig, you just made me realize I got out of this habit of doing visualization the night before. And when I was in the flow, when I was in the zone, when I was building my real estate company and I was 10Xing it, literally taking it from $350 million to $3.5 billion in 5 years, I was doing visualization every night. But when I sold that business and moved on, I let that habit go. And the visualization, when you visualize, you start to attract the things, you start to do the behaviors, you start to make things systematic, automatic. You don't wait, you don't hesitate, you don't procrastinate. And visualization also helps you identify the things you have to remove. So plant good things in your mind, plant good plans, and do those plans, implement on those plans. Number 7 ties right into that. You must have proper goal setting. People always ask me, how long does it take to become more disciplined? You can be more disciplined 24 hours. You remove all those temptations and distractions. That makes it easier. You get public accountability like I did with the swearing. And when I said that, it was 4 days. I swore 6 times that day, 4 times the next day, 2 times the next day, 2 times the next day, boom, all done. All done, just like that. And now, unless I see a giant bug, I do not swear. I do not swear. You do not need to take forever to change your discipline patterns. You can get 1% more discipline tomorrow by setting your workout clothes out. You can get 10% more discipline by getting rid of all the junk in your house. If anybody wants junk, hey, listen, you got to go to the store and get your own junk. Not everybody needs to have junk in the house. It makes it so much easier for you to live your life. Everybody can buy their own junk and hide their junk away from me. That's totally cool. Just help me out here. Just don't make excuses for it. So proper goal setting, figuring out what you want to change, then building in a plan in place. Right? When people come to my workshop, they get a 90-day plan. They get the outcome goal, the 3 process goals, and then we build. What are you going to do in 24 hours, 7 days, 72 hours, then 7 days, then 14 days, 21 days, 30 days? What are you going to do? What are the benchmarks? And when you have that proper planning in place, you can make massive changes. If your goal is to get more discipline in 90 days, what can you do in 24 hours to make the path smooth, to get momentum and motivation, to keep on rocking and rolling? Think about that. Number 8, we got to have ruthless self-reflection and course correction. Ruthless self-reflection and course correction. If you do this daily, you identify where you went wrong. Like if I look at my day so far, it's noon when I'm recording this, I can look at my day and go, you know what? I checked my Instagram too much around the time that my video went up today. It was an awesome video. I really want to see what kind of comments were coming in. I only need to check it from 9:15 to 9:30. Instead, I went back on there at 10:15. It delayed my workout. Now it delayed my workout, delayed my lunch. I'm a little bit rushed. But not too rushed going into this podcast. A little bit off. Okay, so listen, you gotta say, hey, maybe Craig, you can only go on Instagram 15 minutes after your workout. That's it. Promise the world. Okay, I don't take my phone to my workout. I only go on after the workout. Boom. Now I'm back on track by using all of these things. So ruthless self-reflection and course correction done daily makes the biggest difference. And then again, done Sunday morning before your weekly planning. And you really need to harness the power of shame and guilt. Harness the power of shame and guilt. See, look at yourself and go, man, I'm being a hypocrite. I'm saying one thing in public. I'm acting another way in private. I can't do this anymore. I got to change. I got to get help. Maybe you need a therapist. Maybe you need just a coach. Maybe you need something even more than a therapist. Maybe you really, really need some help about some stuff you're doing in private that you don't talk about in public and you feel really bad about it. Well, listen, you got to channel that into being better and improving yourself. It's time to do that. It's okay. Listen, it's all right. It's all right. Nobody's perfect, but we really do need to align our private and public selves because that hypocrite inside or outside or that hypocritical feeling can really drive a stake in our dreams. But at the same time as harnessing power of guilt and shame to make you feel bad into doing things, so that's the stick of the carrot and the stick, we also must be anti-fragile that, hey, listen, if we do mess up, if we say, hey, listen, I do not eat ice cream anymore. I'm never going to eat ice cream again for the rest of my life. And then one day I eat two scoops of ice cream because it was a beautiful day. I was at the beach. I was on the boardwalk. I was with the love of my life and she wanted to have ice cream. And I thought, this is a magical moment. We're going to remember for the rest of our lives. I'm going to have some freaking ice cream. Then you need to be like, okay, listen, maybe that is a little bit too hardcore. I can't be too hard on myself here. I'm going to say that I don't have ice cream on school nights, or I only have ice cream, once a month, or I only have one ice cream three times in the summer. And that's okay, because now it's like, hey, listen, you don't need ice cream when it's, you know, like 60 degrees out Fahrenheit and it's raining. I've seen people eating ice cream on those days. I'm like, why are you eating ice cream on like out in public? Why'd you go to Baskin Robbins when it's raining and cloudy? I don't get it. Like, maybe they just really love ice cream. But I mean, obviously that is not a magical moment in time. So don't be too hard on yourself. But when you can, harness the power of guilt and shame and have the ability to get back on track through the anchor routines that we talked about before. So you got all these things in place. And we're now up to number 9, which is stop self-sabotage. Self-sabotage is where you put label lies upon yourself. You say, I'm an introvert. You say that I'm always late. You say that I can never lose weight. You say all of these things. And when you say all of these things, what happens? They're powerful affirmations that stop you from achieving success. If you say to yourself, I haven't been able to lose weight as much as I want yet, but I'm always looking, I'm always learning to get better. Like, that is a totally different mindset, a totally different person. And that's like systematic, automatic. Because now you're like, I'm always looking. Great, I'm always looking for a way to improve and get better. Great, I will try the keto diet for 21 days. I'll see if it works. I personally will never try the keto diet. But you can try the keto diet for 21 days and see if it works, because you're the type of person who's always looking for the solution. I'm always looking for the solution to be a better coach, better mentor, better leader, better speaker, better trainer, better writer, better author. And yes, I don't like having other people give me ruthless reflection and course correction. My ego is very fragile, but it's not so fragile that I'm not anti-fragile, that I can't take that criticism and become better. So I don't label lie myself. I don't say, hey, I'm an introvert anymore. No, I say, hey, listen, you know what? I'd love to be alone, but I'm A-okay going to this event. I am going to make the extra effort to go to more events and talk to more people and help more strangers, do more video, do more speaking, do all of these things, because the world needs that more than they need me sitting at home alone. Boom. Stop self-sabotage and change your identity, which is number 10. If you say to yourself, listen, I am not the type of person who does snoozing, scrolling, pot, porn, drinking, doping, cursing, cheating, then I won't do those things. If I truly believe that, do you truly believe that? Do you truly believe that you will not snooze, scroll, do porn, not do porn, but well, you should definitely not do porn, but smoke pot, drink, dope, curse, cheat? Think of those things. Don't do those things. I am not the person who does those things. I will have one social drink, but I will not be the type of person who gets drunk. And I will scroll a little bit, but not as much as I used to. All the other stuff, I'm good. So if you change your identity, you never let the floodgates open. And you change your identity to the type of person, hey, listen, if I do go off track, I am not going to crucify myself here. I'm anti-fragile and I have bounce back ability. That's a word that I stole from Bedros. It's a good line. Bounce back ability. You have bounce back ability. If you mess up, you know what? Don't worry. Don't worry. Nobody is perfect. We are human. We are wired in weird ways that stop us from being perfect. And that's all right. That is all right. You know, you shouldn't be like that guy in, Da Vinci Code? Remember the guy who just like whips himself at night, self-flagellation or whatever? So many people do that to themselves. And again, it's a fine line, double-edged sword of harnessing the power of guilt and shame in a good way to make you realize, I don't want to feel like this anymore. Great. Okay. I don't want to feel like this anymore. It's not the same as taking out a whip and, you know, lashing yourself, which so many people do. So don't be too hard on yourself. Just go, you know what? I said I was not going to have ice cream again. I've already had it once this weekend. Here I am having ice cream again. I got to set up more systematic, automatic systems in place so that I make the right decisions more often. I'm going to brush my teeth right after every meal so that I don't go and have ice cream. That'll really help. I'm going to, you know, chew gum. I'm going to tell my friend, hey, listen, I've already had ice cream today. Maybe I shouldn't have any more dairy. Let's do something else. Or you know what? I'm happy to go and let you have ice cream, but I'm really good. I'm actually really full from the steak that I just had. Great. So you figure out, what kind of identity do you want to have? Do you want to project to the world? And do you want to be aligned with and not hypocritical with? And that is where the world changes. So, my friend, let's sum this all up. That you must first, number one, destroy distractions and toss temptations. Number two, you must get public accountability. Number three, systematic, automatic, right decisions. Number four, no more waiting, hesitating, or procrastinating, because success loves speed, delay kills dreams, and motivation and momentum breed discipline. Number five, get your anchor routines to get back on track. Number six, visualization. Plant good things in your mind so that you do the right things. Number seven, proper goal setting. Break it down so that you can become successful and disciplined fast, 1% better every day. Number eight, ruthless self-reflection and course correction. Number nine, stop self-sabotage. Get rid of the label lies that you've been putting on yourself. And number 10, change your identity. No more snoozing, scrolling, porn, pot, drinking, doping, cursing, cheating. All right? Never let those floodgates open. And if anything bad happens, you have bounce back ability so that you get back on track. Now, the last thing I'll say is that you are truly the product of your environment. And you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. This is not a cliche. It is true. Harvard research shows that if you spend time with overweight people, you have a greater chance of becoming overweight. If you spend time with smokers, you have a greater chance of taking up smoking. It's not rocket surgery. We all get it. But most important, you are the product of your self-talk and self-belief. So take all of these 10 principles. And you too, my friend, you too can go from wherever you are right now, lazy, unmotivated, not disciplined, to becoming one of the most disciplined, successful, systematic, automatic, successful people that anybody around you knows. And that can lead to greatness on so many levels, whether it's writing books, becoming better at athletics, maybe it's losing weight, going and stepping on stage for a fitness competition, maybe it's building a seven-figure, eight-figure, nine-figure, billion-dollar business that changes the world just by getting your act together. There's been so many stories of people that have done this, and you can be the next one. So keep me posted on your progress. I want to hear about how your life becomes more systematic and automatic to make the right decisions. Now, if that was helpful, but you're like, I still don't know how to do this, here's the thing. If you're the average of the five people that you spend the most time with, and you're the product of your environment, and you're a product of your self-talk and self-belief, this will all change for you. If you get out of your house, out of your comfort zone, out of your little town, and go to San Diego, November 8th and 9th for the Perfect Life Retreat. This will truly, ultimately change your life. So please, please be there. Go to perfectliferetreat.com. Get your ticket. You can bring a friend for the same price. 2-for-1 deal is on now. So please get there. It's going to be my last Perfect Life Retreat ever. And it's going to change your life and help you become more disciplined and successful systematically and automatically. All right. So we'll see you there. Now, let me know what you thought of today's show, okay? What did you think of my alliteration and my rhyming skills, right? Do you like these solo rants or do you want to hear some more interviews? All right, so drop me a direct message on Instagram at RealCraigValentine or email me at supportedearlytorise.com. And then head over to iTunes and please give this show a 5-star ranking. And please share this one because so many people want more discipline, need more discipline, and life is too short not to go after what you want, all right? So I'll see you in San Diego in November 8th and 9th. For the Perfect Life Retreat, you can get your tickets at perfectliferetreat.com.